Isaiah 50. But first of all, just a short story entitled Bruce and the Spider. This is by James Baldwin. There was once a king of Scotland whose name was Robert Bruce. He had need to be both brave and wise, for the times in which he lived were wild and rude. The king of England was at war with him and had led him a great army into Scotland to drive him out of the land. Battle after battle had been fought, and six times had Bruce led his brave little army against his foes, and six times had his men been beaten and driven into flight. At last his enemy was scattered and he was forced to hide himself in the woods and in lonely places among the mountains. And one rainy day, Bruce lay on the ground under a falling down shed, listening to the patter of the drops on the roof above him. He was tired and sick at heart and ready to give up all hope. It seemed to him that there was no use for him to try to do anything anymore. As he lay thinking, he saw a spider over his head, making ready to weave her web. He watched her as she toiled slowly and with great care. Six times she tried to throw her frail thread from one beam to another, and six times it fell short. "Poor thing," said Bruce. "You too know what it is to fail." But the spider did not lose hope with the sixth failure. With still more care, she made ready to try for the seventh time. Bruce almost forgot his own troubles as he watched her swing herself out upon the slender line. Would she fail again? No. The thread was carried safely to the beam and fastened there. "I too will try a seventh time," cried Bruce. He arose and called his men together. He told them of his plans and sent them out with messages of cheer to his disheartened people. Soon there was an army of brave Scotchmen around him. Another battle was fought, and the King of England was glad to go back to his own country. If you have a Bible there, would you turn to Isaiah chapter 50, please? Isaiah chapter 50, and we're just going to read the first 10 verses. Isaiah chapter 50. This is what the Lord says. "Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins you were sold. Because of your transgressions your mother was sent away. When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to deliver you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? By a mere rebuke, I dry up the sea. I turn rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with darkness and make sackcloth its covering. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back for those to beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know I will be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. This is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will wear out like a garment, and moths will eat them up. who among you fears the Lord, who obeys the word of his servant, that the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Entitled the message this morning, a word in season. Verse 4 in the NIV says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as he learned." So that's the AV. The Authorized Version brings that out clearly. To speak a word in season. The Message version of Isaiah 50 verse 4 says this: "The Master has given me a well-taught tongue, so I know how to encourage tired people." At the heading of my chapter 50, I don't know if it's the same in your Bible, but at the start of this chapter, it heads it by saying, "Israel's sin and the servant's obedience." Israel's sin and the servant's obedience. And sometimes we can look at the nations of the world and even our own nation and see the sin of our nation, the rebellion of our nation against God. But we need to be like Isaiah, and in this prophetic word pointing towards Jesus as well, the obedience of the servant, the obedience of Isaiah, but also the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the nation and of the church. It can be a picture of our nation and of you and I. Though our nation might decide to go down a different route that God would call us to as individuals, we need to be obedient to what God is telling us. And one commentator says that the verb translated here is not found anywhere else. It suggests to console, to respond, to shepherd, to care. But the oldest suggestion is still possible. A timely moment, a season to speak the correct word into someone's life. And I just want to take that theme for a few moments this morning. That God can call you and I to speak a word in season to someone that is weary. But let me just go through this verse bit by bit. A word in season means that we need to recognize the seasons. And to give the right word, we need to recognize where people are at. You'll be familiar with Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And a verse that is challenging me at the moment and has been for quite a while, and I'm praying into, and you've heard me quote quite a lot, is 1 Chronicles 12:32. "Men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what to do." Men of Issachar, they understood the season and they knew what to do in that particular season. So it's important for us that on a national level, we are aware of what season we're in as a nation. And with what we're going through in this pandemic, different people are saying different things as to where we might be as the church general in the UK, the UK as a nation. We need to hear God's voice in this. We need to understand the season in this. And as I mentioned last week, for some of us, it does give us the opportunity in certain areas to try and slow down, seek God's face, assess where we are in our individual walk with God, where the church is with its walk with God, and how God wants us to move on day by day. It's important that we recognize the seasons for the nation, but we also it's important to recognize the season that an individual might be in. And you know, the Bible tells us we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. But how do we know those who are rejoicing, and how do we know those who are weeping? We need to create a sensitivity to the needs of one another, that we are aware what season somebody might be in. And because we come from all different walks of life, when we meet together as a church, be it over Zoom or, God willing, when we get back into our building, you know that somebody can walk through the door on a Sunday morning and they're just in that great place where they've just known blessing after blessing of God. Things are fitting together in their everyday life, and they're just ready to praise and to worship, and they're full of joy. And others might come in who have had a difficult week. They could have let God down. They could just be struggling with whatever. They could have had difficult news within the family. And they're coming into church, and they're coming in a different way. No one isn't more spiritual than the other. It's just different. And particularly because, or I say partly because we're all British, you know, we have this stiff upper lip. But maybe because we don't have the depth of relationship that we should have, we tend to cover up how we are feeling. We do have some, so the saying that some people kind of wear their heart on the sleeve, and they can see and they will tell you how they're feeling. But many kind of keep the hurt and the pain deep with inside them and not share how they're feeling. And so again, we need to be sensitive to God being able to give us words that we can speak into the life and into the correct season that somebody might be going through. So we need to be sensitive to the seasons, and then we need to be sensitive in what we say. Sensitive to what we say. The verse says, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue." You're familiar with the verses from James. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set a forest on fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mad on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell, James says in chapter 3 and verse 6. We are told also in scripture, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you. No expectations, no retaliation, no sharp tongue sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be blessing and you will get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day filled up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil, cultivate good, run after peace for all you're worth. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked, but he turns his back on those who do evil things. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. And when I was preparing this word this week and this theme, a word in season, I was obviously challenged myself as well to think about what I say and how I say it. Now, I guess, like you, I'm similar. Kind of Pastor Rob in church tries to say the right things. And Pastor Rob in church tries to be in control of his tongue and of the words that come out of his mouth. But what is Pastor Rob like at home when he's tired and grumpy and irritable That only happens once a year, so don't worry about it. But what am I like then? And what comes out of my mouth when I'm pressed against a wall? When I'm tired? When I'm feeling sorry for myself? And Sean or one of my children or somebody sends me an email or phones me and just annoys me a little. What are my words like in private? And for me, one of the things that God is challenging me in this time of kind of lockdown and doing this pandemic is, can I allow God to purify my heart? So I'm not just the person behind the pulpit, and I don't just utter godly sayings when I'm in church. But as Isaiah writes, my tongue has been cultivated. The message says my tongue has been educated. What is my tongue like at home? What is my tongue like when I'm away from the church? What words come out of our mouths? And as the New Testament tells us, I don't want to read these verses. With our tongues, we can bring healing or we can bring pain. And if we are to bring words to the weary, those outside the church, first of all, we need to be able to bring words to our own family, the church family, yes, but our own flesh and blood. And I've been guilty probably, and maybe you, if God could shine a torchlight into our hearts, that maybe when Sean has been feeling down, that maybe I've made things worse with what I've said. And God is calling me to readdress how I speak in my own home and the words that I use, because I can build Sean up or I can knock her down. And if I'm knocking Sean down, the words that I say to you in church and the words I say to other people in other places are quite hollow, really. They're quite hollow. Because it's who I am when the shield is down, is what God sees, and who I really am. And I need, if I'm to have a word for season in the church and outside, I need to have a word in season for my own family and maybe challenge the words that we sometimes use. Colossians says this: use your heads as you live and work amongst outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation. Not put them down. Not cut them out. Let me just read that again. It's the Message translation of Colossians 4, 5 to 6. Use your heads as you live and work amongst outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. One of our grandchildren, I think this is happens in Morse children, that they start to talk and they start to use their words and they slightly regress, they slightly go backwards. And one of our grandchildren is doing that at the moment, and he will form his mouth in a certain way so that he's not speaking properly. And Sean keeps saying to this particular grandchild, use your words. Use your words. So she stops him mid-flow, which is probably frustrating for the little one. But then she says, use your words. And so he'll put his mouth to the right shape as it should be, and he will speak properly. Use your words. God says the same thing to us this morning. Use your words. But use them well. Use them to build up, not to knock down. A word in season. This verse says, a word in season to the weary. So we need to be sensitive to the season. We need to be sensitive to the words that we speak. And we need to be sensitive to those who are weary. And there are probably many, many people in this difficult season who are weary. It's a word that sustains the weary. It's a word that brings encouragement. The Message translation says, so you know how to encourage tired people. And again, people can be tired. They can be tired physically. And that's a problem for many people, that they are tired physically. But as I said earlier, we can be tired in our souls. We could be tired in our spirit because the battle has been so fierce and it's been so, so difficult. And then for someone to come alongside us and to speak that word in season, which is just so, so refreshing, so uplifting, so encouraging. It's that word in season for the weary. But again, we need to be sensitive to those who might be weary. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says this, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, but encourage those who are disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And Paul brought the word in season to Timothy. Now, it's a shame that Derek's walking around the field somewhere, but Derek would like this particular encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy, because he says, stop drinking only water and drink some wine. But you've got to keep that in context, Derek, if you are listening. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Now, on this occasion, Paul didn't pray for healing for Timothy. We know that Paul prayed for many people to be healed. But on this occasion, the word in season for Timothy, in fact, just thinking about Derek, Sean likes a little bit of wine as well, but don't tell anybody I told you that. Stop drinking only water, but use a little wine. It was quite practical. Sometimes we think that when we have to give somebody a word from God, you know, we have to see some writing in the sky. Sometimes we can even develop a very spiritual language. Timothy's encouragement to the weary, i.e. Timothy, was just very practical. Hey, Timothy, don't just drink water. It wasn't, thus saith the Lord, Timothy, the God told me that you must stop drinking water. It was simply just stop drinking water, Timothy, have a little wine, and it will help your situation. So the words of God sometimes are quite dramatic, but at other times they come across quite natural. Another word that Paul had for Timothy, because Timothy was a little nervous. He's quite an anxious young man. And he said this, it's recorded for us in 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, it gives us love, and it gives us self-discipline. Timothy was timid. He was anxious. And you can see these two words. They were both words in season, completely different words, but they were both words in season that Paul brought to Timothy. And we need to be of a people that has a word in season for one another, but also for those people outside of the church. The parents that we have contact with through secret agents and Acon toddlers and all that we do, those parents that will allow their children to come to the holiday club over Zoom. How many of them are weary? How many of them worn out, not knowing where the next problem will come from and how they're going to overcome the next hurdle, whether they can afford this or can afford that? Many of them are weary in many ways, and we need to have a word in season for these people. Worry weighs us down. A cheerful word picks us up, Proverbs tells us. Worry weighs us down, but a cheerful word, a word in season, picks us up. And just to finish this morning, as it says in verse 4 there, that God wakes him up. God awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. He wakes me up in the morning, wakes me up, opens my ears to listen as one ready to take orders. I wonder who or what wakes you up in the morning. Now, don't, for those of you who are in couples, don't give anything away, but I kind of wonder if one of you snores and you might be woken up by the snoring of the other. It might be the birds singing in these bright mornings. It might be the alarm clock. Isaiah says here, I'm woken up by God. What a way to be woken up, eh? And in one sense, that applies to all of us, because God gives us our breath. And when we wake in the morning, it's because God has given us that breath to wake. And again, to be, you know, to be in that place right from the first moment, I'm smiling because there's somebody in the room with me that isn't a morning person. And it takes a while for them to get the smile on first thing in the morning. I won't gonna give anything away, but it's not me. But that sense that when we wake up, we're just ready to hear what God wants to say to us. We're ready. God, what do you want to give me this day? And many of us wake up, myself included, thinking of what we've got to do, who we've got to see. And then sometimes we can wake up thinking, oh, not today. But God is with us every single day. God gives us that breath. Remember that story in the Old Testament where Samuel thought Eli was calling him. He'd not recognized God's voice. And eventually Samuel said to him, when you go back, say, I'm listening. And God came and stood before him exactly as before, calling out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answers, speak. I'm your servant, ready to listen. When we wake up in the morning, I'll be ready to listen to God. Do we give time to listen to God? Or for some of us, are we out of the door about to do whatever we're doing before we've even give God a thought of what God might lay on our hearts, what God might want to speak to us? We're told in Mark 1 and verse 33, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed, where he communed with God, where he got his words. You know, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. I don't say anything unless I hear the Father saying it. Jesus always had a word in season. To Zacchaeus it was, hey, I'm coming for a meal. Let's come and have a chat together. Let's go and eat together. To the woman caught in the act of adultery, where are thine accusers? They'd walked away. Jesus always had a word in season for everyone that he met. Lamentation says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So to be woken up by God, to be attentive to what he is saying, that we might speak a word in season to the weary. Let me just pray. Again, Father, you are faithful. Father, forgive us for the times when you would speak to us directly from your word, the Bible, but our ears have not been attentive. Father, forgive us for the times when you have given us a word for someone, but for whatever reason, we've not spoken that word to them. Father, forgive us when we've not been sensitive enough to give, to recognize the season, and to recognize the person who is weary and tired and needs encouragement. And Father, bring in this right home and making it so personal. Father, forgive us for the times when we have said things to our husband or wife or children or family members that we should never have said. Those words should never, ever, ever have come out of our mouths because they were destructive. And God, you know that we are not perfect. And even from this day and from this sermon, we will all go and say something that we shouldn't say at times. But I pray, Father, that it will become less and less and less. And like Isaiah, we can say, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. So God, forgive us for the hurt that we have caused through our words to our loved ones. And Father, please help us to be sensitive, to have words in season for the weary. We ask it to the glory of your name. Amen.